Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome you all to Drive Through HR, where Brian Wimbun, William Tinkup, and Nisha are coming to you live every day talking about human resources with wonderful HR professionals out there. And today we have such an amazing guest joining us from Prana Business, Joe Clark. Joe, welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to have a conversation with you guys.
Well, delighted to have you here with us today, and personally, I'm so excited to meet you virtually for the first time.
Yes, same here.
Great. So, Joe, to our audience, if you can do us a favor, would you please talk a little bit about you and about your company so that they can know more about you?
I sure will. Thank you so much. Yes, I am, first of all, my name is Joe Clark, nice and simple, easy to remember, almost too simple sometimes. I'm the co-founder and chief executive officer of a company in Boulder, Colorado called Prana Business, and we're working on a couple of things right now. Primarily, the main problem that we're focused on right now in business is, really what we're trying to solve is how to help client companies get better at strategy execution. And more specifically, a couple of ways we do that is we've developed some technology and some coaching and consulting services that go along with that technology that help organizations do just that. Primarily starting with, first of all, really helping managers and executives scan their internal landscape and get an idea of where some of the key vulnerabilities are inside of their teams and inside of their business units and organizations, see where some of the misalignments are around how employees see the game plan of the company or their perception of the game plan or the strategy, and really helping managers and executives be able to bring their different individuals on their team into alignment around a common direction and a common game plan. So that's one way we go about it. The second way, a little bit more individualized. We focus on working with managers and executives all the way through to the C-suite to really help them be more strategy-focused leaders. Many managers and even senior executives, they're tacticians, they're technicians. They're not always skilled at strategic thinking and being strategy-focused and really what that means. And that's an important issue right now. I don't know if you've seen this study, but there was a study done by Management Research Group not too long ago. This was in the Harvard Business Review. And they studied something like 60,000 managers internationally. And one of the headline numbers in this particular study came back and told us that the competency or the skill around strategic thinking is 10 times more important to the perception of effectiveness than the other usual suspects that we talk about, like collaboration, communication, prioritization, innovation. So strategic thinking, 10 times more important. And yet at the same time, there's oftentimes a big skill gap there between management and executive and really being strategy focused. So those are the two core things that we're working on today.
Well, great. Well, as you talked more about, 10 times more important, that is the strategic skills that organizations are looking for, and you are working with a lot of clients. And so what are some skills set that is really lacking in the current corporate America right now when you're talking to your clients?
Yeah, good question. And really circling back around to strategy execution. That is the key skill that we focus on with our clients, coaching clients or organizational clients. And getting into more specifics around leaders have to be able to, they have to be curators. There's a lot of noise out there in business, and to be an effective leader, you have to be a good curator. And where I'm going with this is, if you think about this question of what's the difference between an art museum and an art warehouse, and the answer is the empty space. And it's an art museum because there's a lot of empty space on the walls, and that's because there's a curator. There's an individual who injects a dose of magic into the experience for the person visiting the museum. So managers have to do the same thing today. There's so many things that employees can focus on and work on, and most of it doesn't really give the company any extra credit in the eyes of the customer. So leaders have to be able to take a look at what are the things that we're doing, what are the priorities that we currently are focusing on, the tasks and the activities, and be very editorial about what are we going to, what's most important for our ability to execute our game plan, what's most important in the eyes of our customers. And, if you don't work on that skill around being strategy focused, then what you can wind up with is an art warehouse, essentially, where you just pack in as much stuff as you can possibly can, but you're not really creating value for any end user at the end of the game.
That's right. Well, as you were saying, you know, create a technology around helping your organization get better at strategy execution. So how much of a role is for technology when it comes to strategy execution? Or why should organization use a technology in the first place for strategy execution?
Yeah, that's a great question. And there's many ways to tackle that answer. The way that we chose to look at it, and we have an assessment process that's been very successful with clients and gained a lot of traction in the marketplace called Line of Sight, and it's based on technology, but it's a very simple concept in that essentially what we're doing is we're using technology to ask employees to respond to a series of items. So it's effectively a way to optimize an interaction with an employee to gain their insights around what do they think their company's strategy is. Are they measuring the right things when it comes to strategy execution? And so we used to, before technology, we really used to spend a lot of time with clients that we can now really optimize that process through cloud software and other vehicles like that really allow us to spend more time on actual solutions and less time on collecting dots. So we always talk about we like to focus on connecting dots rather than collecting dots. And technology allows you to do that too.
Wonderful. Well, I wanted to, make it, as you were saying, connecting the dots, I wanted to make it a little more basic and easy to understand for our audience. You know, when we talk about strategy execution, there are a lot of stages in that and a lot of collaboration in that. So when you start right in the beginning, of course, mistakes can happen, but how you deal with it, what matters most. But when it comes to strategy execution, you have this, you're formulating the strategy and you're communicating well to your organization and employees, and then there comes the execution. So where is the role of leaders comes most important? Is it in the formation stage or communication stage or execution stage?
Yeah, you obviously are asking some great questions, so you're in the right role, Nisha. But there was actually, the way I'll answer this is, there was a study done just a few years ago by Ernst & Young, and they did a study of Wall Street analysts. And they wanted to know, what do Wall Street analysts look for when they're placing a rating on a stock, a buy, sell, or hold rating? And the survey came back and showed that the number one thing these analysts look for is a company's ability to execute strategy. And further down the list, was the actual quality of the strategy itself. And so essentially what they're saying is that if you have a track record of execution, if you have the right leadership in place and the right corporate culture in place to sustain results and execute strategy, then we're going to place a premium on your stock. If you have an A-grade strategy but a B-grade track record of execution, then, you know, that's not necessarily a stock that we're going to look at. So to answer your question, the execution is so much more important than the actual quality of the strategy itself. It seems intuitive, but it's oftentimes overlooked. And you see that in strategic planning processes today where strategy becomes an event. It's a once-a-year trip to some offsite, and then a beautiful series of documents is put together, and it's a well-crafted strategy, but there's no implementation behind it. It doesn't have legs, so to speak. And so to answer your question, it always goes back to a company's ability or a team's ability to execute on a game plan.
Great. So when it comes to measurement, how should an organization go about measuring if strategy execution is going on the right direction and it is properly aligned with the business objectives?
Yeah, so essentially, if you're an executive, just want to be sure I'm understanding the question right. Mm-hmm. If I'm a manager or an executive, how do I measure how well mm-hmm. we're executing strategy? Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Okay. There's many ways. First of all, the ultimate objective of strategy is to return capital to shareholders. I mean, that's it at the end of the day. And the way that's measured is through an ROI measurement that's called return on invested capital. And you can Google this, ROIC. That's the mm-hmm. that is the bottom line from an investor's perspective. Whether you're a small to mid-cap company and you've got, you know, just a group of investors who invest in the company, or you're a publicly traded company, at the end of the day, investors are looking for a return on their capital. So that is the ultimate measurement. Now, that doesn't help a manager all that much when you're down into the tactical elements of a day. And so that's actually one of the reasons why we created the line of sight tool the way we did, is to help create a leading indicator, a balanced scorecard, if you will, for a manager or a supervisor or a senior executive to get an indication of how well we're currently executing on our game plan. And so that's critically important, because what happens is if you don't have a balanced scorecard, typically what you're measuring is what we call lagging indicators, okay, indicators and measurements that already happened. And most of the time, those lagging indicators are financial numbers. They're sales figures or profit numbers or budget numbers of some kind. But the problem with those is that they already happened. They're done. They're historical. And so it doesn't really help a manager at that particular time to, you know, in moving forward. So you want to have a balance between a lagging indicator and then what we call a leading indicator, which are a series of measurements that give a manager an indication, some clues, if you will, into how well we're going to be executing in the coming quarters, in the coming months. And so having that balanced scorecard is a very, very powerful tool for a manager.
Great. So while you're talking about that scorecard, what are some questions that he should be asking himself before he interacts with his team members to make sure that they know what they're talking about, right? So if there are some tips and techniques that you can share among our audience, that would be really great. Some questions that they should be asking during the discussions before their team members.
Yeah, so this whole idea of strategic conversations, you know as well as I do, and for those of you listening, I'm almost positive that this is your experience too. In fact, I'd eat my hat if it wasn't. But most of the time, what goes on inside of companies is you have meetings, you have discussion and dialogue about projects, but there's not a lot of strategic conversations going on at all levels. And so strategic conversations are always centered. In fact, strategy, Nisha, is always centered around the fundamental business question. So if there's any question you as a manager, including an HR manager, in fact, very compelling for an HR manager to really think through this, the most fundamental question that any business needs to ask is, why do our customers buy from us versus the competition? Everything else is background music. And it doesn't matter if you're a hot dog stand or a billion-dollar technology company, the question is the same. Why do your customers come into your store and take money out of their wallet and put it into your cash register versus all of the other options that they have? Why don't they just walk down the street to the next door? So what is it that compels them to buy your product or service? And that is the fundamental question. Now, if you're a manager, that should be the answer to that question should inform your decision making. Strategy is about choice. It's about making choices. And so when you, as a manager, help your employees understand what our strategy is, what the game plan is, then you're empowering them to make better choices. And so that's always a question that you wanna start with, and that is the essence of business, is compelling a customer to buy your product or service.
Great. Well, I remember in the beginning of the show, you talked a little bit about the alignment. So how about if we talk misalignment, or how do we actually diagnose if there is a misalignment between the team members and managers, and that, of course, negatively impact their productivity?
Yeah. Great. Well, there's a number of different ways that you can measure that. There's many great tools out there. We've created one. Again, we call it the line of sight. It does exactly what the name implies, and it gives executives and managers line of sight into where the disconnects are at a team level as well as an organizational level, if that's the scope. And it starts with a series of questions that employees respond to around do most employees in the company understand the game plan? Do they understand the strategy? And do they understand it in a way that is, here's the kicker, do they understand the strategy in a way that's actually meaningful to them? Do they have the right leadership in place across the organization or across the business unit to be able to lead strategy execution? Are they measuring the right things? And this is where a really good strategic alignment tool is extremely important for an executive or a manager. There are oftentimes disconnects between execs and employees where if you ask an executive, you know, do most employees in your company know the game plan and do they understand the strategy? And a lot of times those executives are overconfident in their answer. And so you see that data come through, and then you see that employees are responding saying, hey, no, we really don't know the game plan. We really don't use strategy to make choices about our daily to-do list. We don't really use strategy to put measurements in place. And so the line of sight helps to pull those vulnerabilities out into the light of day. Gives managers a good motivation to want to fix some of those disconnects. So hopefully I'm answering your question.
Hello? Hey, Joe? Are you there?
Hey, Joe.
Hello?
Hello?
I'm sorry, unfortunately, something happened. I think Log Talk Radio, it's internet, and I couldn't be able to hear what he was saying in between, and now I guess it is working. I hope our audience can hear us, but unfortunately, I'm not able to hear Joe. Hey, Joe, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you properly. Perfect.
Okay, good. Yeah, well, I went blathering on there for a little while before I realized that nobody was listening.
Oh, no, no. I mean, people were listening, but for us, I think this is technical glitches that can happen. You know, this is internet, right? But our audience, they can't hear us properly right now. So let's go down that path about the cost of wrong alignment or how do we fix the wrong alignment in an organization. I'm sure you might have answered that, but for some reason I couldn't be able to hear.
I get a second shot at answering that question. That's much appreciated on my end. The first thing that you have to do as an executive or a leader is you first have to see where the misalignments are. If you're going to fix, you know, it's just like, to kind of use an analogy here, if you're the captain of a ship and you know that for some reason you're taking on water, you can feel it, the boat, the ship is a little bit slow, it's not turning quite as fast as it could. You know you're taking on water, but you can't quite tell where. So the first thing you have to do is figure out where are the holes in the ship, where are the misalignments, where are the disconnects so that you can do something, you can plug those holes and you can move on. So that's the very first thing you have to do is see where those disconnects are. From there, you get a better idea of what do we need to do next to bolster some of these challenges that are facing us. Step one in strategy execution is getting everybody rowing the boat in the same direction, moving in the same direction, any other metaphor I can think of. And that's, you know, from there, that's when the leader is able to really home in on what's most important for my team, what's most important for the individuals on my team to focus on. So you start with that alignment piece and getting an idea of where it's not happening.
Wonderful. Well, we really appreciate that, Joe. How do organizations can attain a sustainable business balance? Because that's what everybody is targeting for, right? And we have these changes everywhere, and we know the companies is success is all about how do they manage their change. So while going through that, as you talk more about the strategy formation or strategy execution among individual basis, even at the team level basis, and even at the enterprise level basis, let's talk about how can an organization have a sustained business balance?
Yeah, so, and more specifically, Anisha, around change, is that... Again, I'm
going
to be sure. Okay. Well, change is not new to us in the strategy space and certainly in the HR space. And that's the thing. I mean, strategy is not static. It's dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
It's constantly shifting. And so we have to be able to move individuals through the transitions that are necessary. But at the end of the day, one of the constants is the value proposition that a company delivers. And I'll give you an example. There in today's Wall Street Journal, there's an article about Office Depot. And a guy by the name of Roland Smith has been brought in as the CEO about 6 months ago to turn Office Depot around. Since the merger with Office Max, there's been a lot of change in that organization, as you can imagine. Roland's job is to turn the ship around and create some value there. And the article talks about some of the things that he's doing in his first 6 months there to really move the organization in a different direction and transition the culture. And I'll tell you, one of the very first things that he did was he went through that curator process, kind of circling back around to that concept, of cutting down. There was something like over 100 major projects that they were working on as an organization. And he cut those down to a dozen. So really then the idea is figuring out what is it that we're going to do that's going to compel customers to come into our store and buy our products versus the other alternatives. And then let's get the rest of the organization focused around the critical few activities that are going to drive that. Rather than 100 major projects, let's focus on a few that we can be great at. Now, you can imagine there's a lot of change involved in that. You know, the ship is moving forward pretty fast. It's big. There are 100 projects we're all working on, and you can bet there's a lot of ownership in those. And now all of a sudden we're not doing it. We're going to go in this direction. And that's where being a strategy-focused leader is so important, and having those skills around being able to craft a story, a compelling story for your team. That's the key skills that any leader needs to have when it comes to change management. You know, here's what we're doing. Here's the meaning behind the tasks and projects that we're working on.
Wonderful. Well, we are talking everything about aligning people with strategy from the very beginning itself. What if, you know, sometimes organizations, they normally face these situations. Employees don't get it. They normally ask, what's in it for me? So how do you actually advise your clients to help that employees know what that organization is all about?
Yeah, you know, we're big fans of every single employee knowing the answer to three questions. Question number one, and if you're a manager, I encourage you, if you're an HR manager, I encourage you to take your team through answering these three questions. But really, any employee needs to know these. And question number one is, who's your competition? And I don't mean who's your competition, you personally. I'm talking about who's your competition in the marketplace. Who's taking share from your business? Where are customers going if they're not using you? So that's question number one, and it's very important that every single employee knows the answer to that. Who's the competition? Who are we playing today? Question number two is, how are we different? How are we different than the competition? Why do our customers buy from us versus those other competitors that we listed? Question number three gets down to the individual and answering your question specifically, Nisha. Question number three is, how do you as an individual contribute to those differentiators? What are the things that you do on a daily basis that create value for your customer at the end of the day? So asking those three questions, building those into your management practice, really helps an individual understand their unique contribution to something that's very abstract. You know, mission, vision, strategy, those are abstractions to employees. They need something concrete. Well, if those employees understand who's our competition, what makes us different in the marketplace, and how do I fit into that? You know, I've got a list of things on my to-do list that's, you know, 10 tasks long. And out of those 10 things on my to-do list, what are the one or two or three things that really give us extra credit at the end of the day in the eyes of our customer? And that's what I'm going to focus on. And that's what strategy is all about. And being a strategy-focused manager is honing your team around that.
Right.
And just if I've got just a kind of add on to that a little bit, we're not talking about best practices here. We're not big fans of best practices at Prana Business. We believe the more a company focuses on best practices, the more they look like the competition. And I can tell you, investors don't invest in companies that look like everyone else in this space. They invest in companies that are different. And so when a company can organize itself all the way down to these seemingly meaningless tasks that individual employees employees focused on. All of those tasks and activities, when you collect them all together, they need to add incremental value to the customer at the end of the day. And that's pretty powerful stuff right there, especially if you're, you know, you're a mid-level manager, even an early first-time supervisor or a team member. And now all of a sudden, if you can clearly identify how the work that you do contributes to your company's game plan, that's pretty cool.
Wonderful. Well, Joe, thank you so much. We are actually running out of time, and it's been a pleasure to have you here with us today. We have learned a lot, and look forward to having you once again soon at the Drive-Thru HR. But before we wrap up, where can people connect with you and come and find you?
Yeah, thank you for that. And again, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure having this conversation. Always happy to talk about strategy. You can find me. Please email me directly if you have questions. It's very simple, joe@pranabusiness.com. Again, that's joe@pranabusiness.com. Or you can just go to our website, pranabusiness.com. You can connect with us there.
Great. Well, Joe, have a wonderful rest of the day. And to our audience, thank you so much for tuning in, and we will talk to you all tomorrow.
Thanks a lot.